And open to the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you for being here this afternoon. Good to see all of you here. They were brothers. They were opposites. One honored God. One disobeyed God. They were sons of Adam and Eve. Abel heads the list of God's, what's sometimes referred to as Hall of Fame, in Hebrews chapter 11. Abel was the first person to be murdered. Even though he's dead, he still speaks. And tonight I'd like for us to consider some of the things that Abel has to tell us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God, testifying of his gifts, and through it, he, being dead, still speaks. I want us to pay attention to this verse tonight, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. Abel still speaks. One of the things that Abel is telling us today, as the verse indicates, God testified of his gifts. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4, which gives us some more information and detail concerning that incident. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, beginning. Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. God testified of Abel's gifts. Abel offered to God an animal for sacrifice, as we just read there in Genesis chapter 4. That was what God wanted. How do we know that's what God wanted? Because as we just read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, he did it by faith. And the book of Romans tells us in chapter 10 verse 17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Abel's gift honored God. God testified about, was moved by, and impressed by that gift, that sacrifice, that worship. God testified of his gifts. Abel offered to God an animal for sacrifice, because that's what God commanded him to do. And when we think about that, we can't help but ask ourselves, when we apply it to ourselves, how important is our worship to God? From this incident, we see that God is not obligated to accept anything that we have to offer in worship to Him. No. We must worship God in spirit and truth, as Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse 24. But with Abel, it was Abel's worship that caught God's eye. Now, what happened long ago was brought up and mentioned by the Holy Spirit. It happened to Moses when he wrote the book of Genesis. It happened again hundreds of years later when the New Testament book of Hebrews was written, as we just read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. The Apostle John mentioned it too in 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. The thing I want us to see here about Abel's sacrifice, God never forgot that. He testified about it by telling the whole world about it for all generations. Abel offered to God an animal for sacrifice, and God had regard for that because that's what He commanded. That's what He desired. That's what He expected. Something else about Abel here. We see that true worship is very important. Those of you here this morning, you remember we had some things to say about that. True worship is very important. We must, as Christians, worship God in the way that He has directed us to do that. And something else about Abel. God honored him for simply doing what he was supposed to do. Now, Abel may not have thought that what he did, as we read there in Genesis chapter 4, was on that grand of a scale. But it was to God. You know, Abel didn't write any books of the Bible. Abel didn't preach. Abel was not a prophet. Abel did not work any miracles. He was not a missionary. He didn't build churches. He was just Abel. A man who loved God and obeyed God with all his heart. He did what he was supposed to do. Now, you may be a stay-at-home mom, and you may at times think, well, I haven't done anything worthwhile for the Lord. Well, let me tell you something. If you are training and teaching your children the Word of God, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. God notices that. He notices you doing that. And that should be a source of tremendous encouragement. If parents are teaching the Word of God to their children, they are doing what they're supposed to do, and God sees that. Just like what Abel was doing. He did what he was supposed to do. And another type situation. You may be one who comes to worship God and you sit in your pew and you hear about preachers going overseas, other places, and preaching in different countries throughout the world. And we may, or you may be thinking to yourself, well, I'm not doing a thing. Excuse me. You are helping those preachers by supporting them, by laying by in store on the first day of the week in worship to God. We don't necessarily have to travel overseas to be supportive of the preaching of the gospel. We can do that by giving money into the treasury of the church every week, and that money, those funds, go to preachers at home and abroad and accomplishes a whole lot of good. So don't deceive yourself into thinking that I'm not doing a thing. You are. You're helping those preachers by supporting them financially. You're helping those men by praying for them that their work might be fruitful in the Lord. And if we are faithful children of God, if we are faithful members of this local church, then what we are doing, what you are doing, is helping to keep a local church going in the right direction. You're doing what you're supposed to do. Abel, even though he's dead, he still speaks. God testified of his gifts. True worship is important. God honored Abel for simply doing what he was supposed to do. And when it comes to worshiping God, we must be about honoring God by obeying him as we worship. Being different, being unique, pushing the envelope, so to speak, that may be exciting to us. But I'm going to tell you something. That doesn't impress God like what Abel did. What Abel did impressed God. He simply did what God wanted him to do. He was reverent. He was devoted. He was sincere, he was humble, he was faithful. All of these attributes that fill the heart of a worshiper of God. As we said this morning and remind us again tonight, the center of our worship, the focal point of true worship is God. It's not us. And when we understand that, that'll change us. That'll change us for the better. There's a lot of things that go on in the religious world today in worship to God where more often than not, it's the feelings that we have that take the place of obedience. Or it's the good times that we can have that replace godliness. Or it's trying to please the audience that replaces pleasing God or honoring God. Don't be deceived by those things. Now, I'm not saying feelings aren't important. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm not saying they take precedence over obeying what God said do. Abel got it right. God was impressed. And then, also with Abel, back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. Even though he's dead, he still speaks, and some other things he has to tell us. Doing right is always right. Abel is most remembered for the sacrifice that he offered God. God accepted his sacrifice because he offered it by faith, as we just mentioned a little bit ago. Abel's brother, Cain, offered God vegetables, but God rejected that sacrifice because that was not what God authorized. As we just read there in Genesis 4, Cain got mad. He should have been mad, yeah, at himself for not offering what God commanded. But instead, he got mad at Abel. Abel didn't do anything to warrant his brother killing him. Abel hadn't done nothing wrong. Cain was jealous, and his works were evil, and he killed his brother. Abel, even though he's dead, he still sins. And this is what he's telling us. Doing right is always right. And also, Abel tells us here that sometimes innocent people suffer at the hands of the guilty. We may scratch our head and wonder about that and be confused about that, be puzzled by that. But it's just a fact of life under the sun. Sometimes innocent people suffer at the hands of guilty people. Abel tells us that. Since Abel did what was right, why didn't God shield him? Why didn't God protect him? Well, the answer to that question is that we live in a broken world, and where death is one of the consequences of that brokenness. Death comes in a lot of different ways. And death comes at all ages. And just like the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it's appointed unto men to die once. And after this, the judgment. It's unfortunate, yes. It's sad, yes. It's not fair, yes. But sometimes innocent people suffer at the hands of the guilty. Another thing that Abel tells us is that there are impressions, there are footprints, there are lessons, and there are words that others will remember after we're dead and gone. Most of us tonight have a parent who has passed away. And we can still remember the many things that they had to say to us. One of the things that I remember about my mother, and she wrote it down on a piece of paper, and I've got it in a safe place. She wrote down, "Remember the good times." And that has always stuck with me ever since she's passed away. Remember the good times. Those thoughts of our deceased parents become a part of our thoughts now. And it's amazing how just doing what we ought to do, like Abel, can leave such a profound impression upon other people. A person who was generous to us when we first started out on our own. A person who made us feel special when we didn't feel that special. A person who shared his time and his heart with us when most people didn't pay us much mind. those impressions, those lessons, they stay with us. They are valuable to us. Emptying ourselves of ourselves, emptying ourselves of us, and filling our time and our hearts with other people is impressionable. Making that little child feel like he or she is the most important person on earth. Lifting the spirits of that young preacher. Opening our house to other people. Being generous, being kind, whether or being thoughtful. All of those things. In doing these things for others, we all continue to speak, whether alive or dead. You know, from, I guess, the world standpoint, most people won't remember us. They won't even know who we were. And I understand that from that perspective. But let's focus in on those who do know us. Generations from now, people may remember us. And how would we want to be remembered? What do we want our legacy to be? You know, we may be that cranky old man at church that they remember. Never smiled. Always cranking, complaining about something. You know, we kind of laugh at that, but it's really not anything to laugh about. But is that how you want to be remembered, as an old crank? I don't want to be remembered that way. And I don't think you do either. And we may be that person that people remember that whenever you saw them, they always looked mad. They just always looked mad. Hardly ever smiled. Just going around with a scowl on their face most of the time. Is that how we want to be remembered? Or we may be the one who they remember as the person who loved God with all their heart. I don't know about you. That's how I'd like to be remembered. Wouldn't you? And we may be the person who was here every time the doors were open. And people might remember about, well, he was there every time the doors were open. I kind of like to be remembered that way, wouldn't you? Now again, the motive behind that is not to be remembered so people can brag on us or we get uppity about ourselves, but it says something about our commitment, our faith. We call it a legacy. We may be the one who people remember that someone on down the road still quotes us, still imitates, still holds up as a model of what we should be like. Now, I mentioned my mom a little bit ago. I can remember things about my dad, some of his sayings, some of his mannerisms. Some of those sayings were really good. Some of those mannerisms I wouldn't want to imitate. But there are some things that he said that I remember. There's also some things that he did that I never want to do. But that's the way it is when we talk about legacy. And that's what we call it. We call it a legacy because legacies leave impressions. our co-workers, fellow members of the church, especially our family. They're going to be left with a view of us. The dishonest co-worker, that person doesn't see beyond himself. The only person he sees is himself. He does things that aren't right. And you know what? Co-workers notice that. The people we work with know whether or not we're honest or dishonest. And for others, it may be those sudden bursts of anger that we have. We blow our top as things happen at work or at home or at Walmart or in Kroger or wherever we go. People remember those things. People may remember us as always being fair, just, equitable, kind, thoughtful. And somebody may remember us because we always had a smile on our face. I remember an older gentleman back then. I was younger at the time, not here, but somewhere else. But whenever I came to worship services, even before I became a Christian, he always had a smile on his face. It was very rare that I ever saw him without a smile on his face. And that impressed me. I wish I could be that way myself all the time. I'm not. But I try to be. The point here is that there are impressions, footprints, lessons, and words that others will remember after we're gone. We all leave a legacy. And Abel finally tells us that in the end, pleasing God is never forgotten. God remembered. God wanted those first century suffering Hebrew Christians to remember Abel. And when we read the list of those great examples of men and women of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, we read about people who fought armies. We read about people who left their homes. We read about people who built an ark. We read about people who marched around cities. We read about people who hid spies, fought giants, and Abel who sacrificed to God. What he did was just as important as those other things I just mentioned. He's named there. He's on that list. It was by faith that he is united with all those other great examples. It's by faith that we can be added to that same list. No, our names aren't in the Bible, but if the Bible is in us and we live in by faith in God's eyes, our name's on that list too. And that's a great thing to know. When Abel worshiped, God watched. When we worship, not only is God watching us, but so are other people watching us. Filed away are those impressions of us. We may not think about it much at the time, but those impressions can make all the difference in the world years later. That's something for us to think about. We'll be remembered at work by some people. We'll be remembered in the family by some members. We'll be remembered by those that we worship with. And those impressions can be the very thing that keeps other people going. Don't ever forget that. Sometimes we may think that I'm only one person. I can't make a difference. I beg your pardon. One person can make all the difference in the world. Let's not sell ourselves short. Let's keep letting our light shine and doing those good works that glorify our Heavenly Father. Walk by faith, not by sight. And when we do that, the end result, the end reward, will be heaven. And that'll be worth it. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, we would encourage you to become one. The way you do that is by believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ that He's God's Son, and be baptized, be immersed in water in the name of Christ for the remission of sins. You can begin to live a life of faith and know that God is watching, that He loves you. He wants what's best for you. He wants you to offer Him true worship and live faithfully so that in the end, you can be in heaven with Him. And we try to bring others with us. If as a child of God, you've fallen away, you've done things that are not right, you have left that straight and narrow path, you've sinned publicly, then you need to make those things right. And the way you do that is by repenting of your sins, confessing those sins, praying and asking God for forgiveness. And you can be restored to faithful service tonight. It's the Lord's invitation that's extended, and if you're subject to that tonight, we invite you to come forward now while together we stand, while we sing.